almost lost my voice. Praise God. There is no God like Jehovah. The God of this world can't compare to our God. He's trying to. He's trying to show how strong and how powerful, how mighty, how benevolent he is. Just leading people down a path to destruction. We called that the Pied Piper. Most of you know that little story. But there are people today, they're acting as the Pied Piper. They're leading people away from God. Follow us. We have the true religion. The church is no longer as strong as it used to be in the polls. Understand, polls are stacked against whoever they want to go against. You want a liberal poll? Go to a liberal town. Do you ever notice that all the polls are always taken in a city? Well, there's more people there. Yeah, it's also where the headquarters of all liberal organizations are. But understand this. Christians do the same thing. We poll where we want to poll. We don't want to know the truth sometimes. And I'm getting off that subject because I'm about to actually hit that in my message. But there is no God like Jehovah. He provides all that we have, all that we will ever need. He's made a way where there is no way. So understand that. You know, and one of the great things we can do is we tithe. And let me help you out here. If you're a tither and you do it because of legalism, knock it off and do it because you love God. Watch how God works in your life. Oh, I got to tithe. You got the word says. Yeah, that's not why I tithe. God said, I'll bless you. I'll open up blessings. He never said, you're not ever going to experience crap. You're not going to go through stuff. He said, watch what I do. And I do every day. So let's bless this. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness, your mercy, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that we can come before you now boldly through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can have that fellowship with you, Father, and we can, as the words of the song say, we can only imagine what it's going to be like when we can stand face to face with you, looking upon your glory and our bodies not disintegrating. Father, I thank you that we can come before you now. And we present to you today, Lord, our tithes and offerings, and I bless them, Lord, as your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. So this past week, I had an interesting little thing while everybody's filing where they need to be. I was doing some drywall work here in the hallway and just had a few spots to touch up. I thought, well, I'll grab the quick set, the powder. It'll set up quicker and I'll be able to come back in, sand it real quick, and then prime and paint it. And I had everything in a bucket. I combined everything up in a bucket. And, the other day I got filled my other bucket up, mixed it all up good with the mixer, and put it all in my pan, got up there and started splatting it on there, and I heard, must not have got it mixed as well as I thought. There's something in this. And it took me a little bit to figure out what I'd done. After that point, I decided to use it sparingly, because if you ever wonder, should I label something? You most absolutely should. Because I had poured my drywall, the bagged drywall mud, in on top of white sanded grout. Let me tell you what, it does not sand off nearly as easy as that easy sand. I had to work three times as hard.
Oh, and then I said, Lord Jesus, when you tell me to do something, hit me again, please. Oh, praise God. Now, just heads up, there's not going to be any scripture coming up because I'm going to read it. It'd be easier for me to read it out of the Word. But this, I saw a video the other day, you know, and I get these videos sometimes. I don't even know who makes them or whatever, but sometimes they're CGI and sometimes they're just actors, but they're portraying things out of the Bible. And this one particular one hit me one day, and I'm like, wow, I never saw that way. And so I was like, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to teach on? And he just left it at that. But we're going to be in the book of Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 16, verse 19. If you don't have your Bible, just hang on with me. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Had all of his needs met. Wanted for nothing. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. I thought about this when I was reading this, and I was like, somebody intentionally laid him at this guy's front door. Could it have been the neighbors that got tired of him being at their door? Could it have been his friends who said, surely this guy will help? But he was covered in sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried into by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hellfire was before the New Testament. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor those from there to pass to us. This great gulf, I mean, it obviously, you know, I've always pictured miles. You can't have a conversation with somebody that far apart. I imagine it was wide enough that they couldn't get across. And I honestly, even that still boggles my mind that it's just a chasm, but yet you're really technically a spiritual being and you thought you could float across, but there's more to that chasm. But I bet it was deep. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. You know what that tells me? Those five brothers saw him and never did anything either. How cold do we have to be that we see people who are seriously hurting? I will be the first one to tell you, there are scammers. There are people that they camp out on the same corner every day. There's one, I can show you where he lives. And thank God somebody got smart and told him to move off that corner because semis are known to run over that corner. It's at Lowe's and Aldi. He finally moved to the other side of the street. Now, whether he's destitute, I don't know, but I do know where he lives. But there are others. There are others you can see. They live on the street. And I've heard people say, go get a job. Do you know their condition? Do you know why they're in that spot? Maybe you're supposed to give them that 20 that you're going to go drink. Maybe you're supposed to help them. I remember one time in Charlotte, North Carolina, Angela and I were heading over there, and we were downtown Charlotte, and we were at the traffic light, and I just looked up, and here was this, I'm going to call her an old woman, but I don't think she was as old as she looked. Her skin was so deep, it looked like old saddle leather. It was just cracked and rough. And she was, I mean, she was brown as a berry. Her skin looked like somebody who had been outside all of her, most of her life. She wasn't wearing brand new sneakers. And Angela and I, you know, we were still, were we in the Marine Corps or just gotten out? We didn't exactly have lots and lots of money left over. And so we pulled up there and I looked up and both of us at the same time felt the Holy Spirit said, give her some money. The smallest I had was a 20. And we kind of needed that. But we said, all right, Lord, we will give this to this woman. And we blessed this woman. And I don't know what she did with it. If she went and got a bottle of Jack, that's on her, not me. I did as the Holy Spirit told me to do. But I'm going to tell you what happened for us. God blessed that weekend for us. Our dinner got paid for by somebody else. So when you see somebody who's hurting, it's not up to you to tell them how to spend that money. That's the first thing that we get. We get uptight and religious and say, well, you're just going to go spend it on booze. I know people that do that. Hey, you know what? If that's really a concern, take them to a restaurant and buy them a meal. But you know what? Maybe they do need that booze. If you understand how alcoholism works sometimes, they can't survive until they can get in and get help. But you know what? I know that's not going to happen because we want to sit back and say, go get a job, you lazy bum. I'm reminded of the movie Liar, Liar. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The little boy prays at his father, who happens to be Jim Carrey in the movie. He's a liar. He's an attorney. And he lies all the time. And this guy outside his office is begging, sir, do you have any change? No. And he goes by. And then his son prays, Lord, help my dad quit lying. The next morning he comes by. And he's already gotten in some trouble in the elevator and a few other places. And he goes running by. Do you have any money? Yes, I do. But I'm too cheap to give it to you. That's the way we are. We don't want to help the people that need it. Because we think, well, I got to control. I'm responsible. If God told you to give to a ministry and that ministry took it off and they went and did something that you do not agree with, that's not on you. It's on them. You sowed the seed. Maybe it was legit. I know there are people have been touched and blessed by many ministries throughout the year that people have not done well. But that's not on them. Or it's not on you. It's on them. Verse 29, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Think about it. By the way, these words are in red. This was Jesus teaching something. Just because somebody raises from the dead, people will not necessarily believe. As I were reading that, the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, it's what's going on in the church today. We have to have programs for everything. We have to have sensationalism. We have to have a light show, a fog show, laser show. We've got to have a movie running. We've got to have a play every Sunday. The word does not work anymore. We don't get a meal in 3 minutes. We throw a fit. What's taking so long? Well, I don't know. I don't know what takes so long anymore. We have a huge problem. We don't want Moses and the prophets anymore. But yet, the whole revelation of Jesus Christ came to Paul through Moses and the prophets. When Paul preached, he had Moses and the prophets. People were changed because of that. Not because, ooh, I was persuaded because your video. I was persuaded because I went in and you had an arcade set up over here for my kids to go play in. I know the churches, been to them. That's how they're drawing people in. Do you understand what they're really doing? We got to keep you busy. We don't want you to know the truth. We don't want you to know God's going to judge you because of how you're treating people, for starters. The law and the prophets talked about how we treat each other. How we're to repent. That last song, "These are the days of Elijah." Let me help you. Let me carry this on. We are in the days of Elijah. Elijah taught repentance from our sins. John the Baptist was a predecessor of Jesus Christ. He was the voice of Elijah the prophet. And the Revelation says that there will be two prophets who will preach again in the streets of Jerusalem. It's not Moses. Moses died because there was one who went before Enoch. That's who's going to do it. Enoch preached repentance before the flood. Nobody wants to know that. Well, Moses and the prophets. Elijah was a prophet. Moses and the prophets. You're stuck on the wrong facts. God is trying to get his people. Elijah preached to people of God to turn their ways. Jesus, in this parable, was teaching us about how we treat people who are less fortunate, who have fallen on hard times. We don't know what happened to Lazarus. Maybe he was in a bad accident. They didn't have workman's comp back then. And if you've ever had to use workman's comp, you know it can be a joke. They really don't want to do what they're supposed to. But yet, we don't know how he ended up there. Maybe he had a mental breakdown. They're just lazy. No. I know lots of good people who have had some problems. At the end, they snap. They get fed up with garbage. They get fed up being talked down to. And then when you fight back, guess what? Well, you didn't have to do that. That's 30 years of rage. What did you think was going to happen? You were going to keep poking them? Anybody ever got hold of a rabbit that did not want you to pick it up? I had checker giants. They were big rabbits. And they did not want, man, they chewed my arms up with their hind feet. And there's a reason why they tell you not to stick your fingers in the cages down at the fair. They will bite. And those little incisors, they're just sharp. But a rabbit will fight. Some of the videos I like watching are snakes and other things. And these rabbits, man, they can pick up and they can jump and they'll kick that rattlesnake or cobra, whatever it is. But we're supposed to be loving people. That means the people that we can't stand. And if we can't get to that point, then we can't love anybody. Because Jesus said, you got to love everybody. Do you seriously think he loved the one thief on the cross who said, get us out of this. You're supposed to be the Son of God. Yes, he did. He loved him. He loved the Roman soldier who was driving the spikes through his wrists. He loved the man who was whipping him. How do we know? Because it's why he died. He didn't die so that we could go bind ourselves together with laws that said, well, you know what? You need to shun these people. You know, they don't agree with you. I'm not Amish. And let me tell you a little fact about the Amish. They're not really godly people. They don't know the Bible. They can't read it. There was an auction that we had at, was it the Fuhrer reunion or the Morrison? I think it was the Morrison. And it was an old German Bible. And they had, that one had been passed down through the family, hadn't it? Okay, yeah, and it's still in the family. I kind of wish I'd have bought it now, even though I can't read German, let alone old German. But the point of it was they don't know the word. They pass down traditions because they're not supposed to, because they can't read it. It's like you or me picking up a Greek or a Hebrew Bible, not translated into English. I know a few of those words, but I guarantee you can't read them unless you've studied for years. And so they pass this thing down. And now if you don't believe like me, I have to shun you. Fathers have to shun their children. How stupid can we be and still breathe oxygen? We're teaching the same garbage today in the American churches. I don't agree with you, so therefore I cannot look upon you. You're sinful to me. No, your self-righteousness is the sin. You have to love that person. I don't care if they're a homosexual. I don't care if they're a drug addict. I don't care if they're a prostitute. I don't care if they're a banker, a lawyer, a preacher. You have to love them. That's the test. Oh, but Pastor, my life is going great. I've got blessings abounding. Yes, God will open doors of opportunity for you, but you never stop growing. You never forget where you came from. By the way, you never forget what happened to you either. That's why you keep forgiving. It hurts less. I can show you, I got scars all over. I can, you know, and they faded. I got one on each of my thumbs. Never, and this one here still got a little knot on it. I got scars on top of my head. Some of them I didn't know were there. A couple of them I figured they were there. Every ache in my body, I can tell you pretty much what happened. The broken bones. But I got through it. I lived. A few scars, I'm not even for certain how I got them. But they didn't leave a memory. But I can tell people, don't use your hedge clippers to cut a corn cob in half to make a pipe. Use nips when you're cutting the fenders off of a 32 Ford to make it a fenderless model instead of your pen knife that's needing sharpened. Don't use a baseball bat on a basketball. You'll knock yourself out. Be careful with grinders. I've got a scar on each one of my legs from an angle grinder. One, the ceiling fell down on top of me and put it into my thigh. And the other one, it kicked while I was at work and it went into my knee. Interesting thing, it'll cauterize the burn. You won't bleed. You'll just hurt for about 2 weeks. You learn lessons. Jesus was warning us, ladies and gentlemen, of pretty much what I see going on today. Churches aren't preaching the word of God. They're preaching self-help. Think positive. Okay, let's live in a positive-only world. Only positive, only rainbows and flowers. Johnny, do we not need the negative in order for these lights to work? Do we not need negative for those fans to work? We think that the negative is a bad thing. You gotta have it. You'll grow. You don't know how good you are until you get challenged. I didn't get to watch any football yesterday because I got fed up with paying a huge satellite bill. Honestly, don't care. My day wasn't any worse off. But I did catch some people talking about the Ohio State game yesterday. How is it Indiana's playing football hard? And then by the next time I saw the score, I'm like, 23-3? What do you mean playing hard? But apparently, somebody rises up to challenge. Good. Good for Indiana. If you want to be the national champions, you need challenged. The World Series. Let's really get the world involved. Japan has baseball teams. Mexico has baseball teams. The world champions of football. I think we're one of the few that actually play it the way we play it. But we're not the world champions until we're challenged by the world. You're not a victor if you don't have a battle. I do believe we have the greatest military in the world. But it's not proven if you're never in a skirmish. You're not in a battle. One of the things I had to learn when I was on the range and coming out on boot camp, I barely qualified. I have no idea. The day before, I was expert. Next day, I was 5 points from being dropped. Wish I could have bent my rifle that night. I tried. Maybe that's why. But we had guys that got out there and they qualified. Oh, yeah, I'm expert. Our next phase of training after boot camp, we got sent to combat training in which you actually had to run and shoot. You had to jump up on roofs and you had to shoot pop-up targets and you had to hit things. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I barely qualified. This is going to be bad. And I ran it. I hit every target. Every one of them. Jesus, did you guide all those rounds? He gives us abilities, okay? But what I learned was you can lay and have all the time in the world to put a bullet on paper. When you're ducking and jiving, it's different. You've got to move. I got better. And some of the people that thought they were so hot found out they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn running. So don't compare yourself to other people. If we are going to be the true representatives of Christ on this earth, we've got to love people. You've got to love yourself. That is scripture. You shouldn't love yourself more than you ought. It's when you love yourself more than other people sometimes. Oh, but I give myself all the time. I give myself. Do you know that out of 7 days, God said, take one of them and get away from what you do? You have to take a break. You have to restore. You have to rejuvenate yourself, your mind. I was always raised, work, 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 work. All the time, you work. When I was a kid, we learned if you're playing, you go to the weeds. You don't go in the house because you're going to get put to work. So we never went in. My brother and I, it's no wonder we ended up in the military. Yeah, this ain't nothing to us. But you got to rest. And then you get back up. And you can minister to people. You can love people. But if people are calling you, I know preachers that people, they have people calling him at 3 and 4 in the morning from other states. I'm going to kill myself. And this guy was not the first time he'd pulled this on him. But the problem is, I will tell you the stinking truth. I'll listen to you for a little bit, and then I'm going to give you the truth. Because the guy always called drunk. When you're drunk, everything's hopeless. You can't think straight. And he would never tell him that. He just would call. And he usually called on Saturday night. So before church, this is what that pastor had to add on his shoulders when he got up to go preach to his congregation. You can't do that. There's times I've listened to people, I talk to people, I've spent a lot of time with people, but Saturday nights, I retreat. It's nothing personal against anybody. If I do something with you, blessings on that situation. But I generally pull back and retreat so that I'm thinking clearly today. I'm not worried about Angela. She's fine. Sore throat, little congestion. She's like, I'm not sharing the love. I said, praise God, you keep that at home. And by the way, fist bump. We ain't kissing. I don't want it. And that don't happen very often. But if we're going to church for sensationalism, oh, but pastor, I'm going to go back to the days when people would dance all over the floor and they would run up and down the aisles and they would laugh and they would cry. Let me help you out a little something. That don't mean that God moved. It's called sensationalism. God moved on one person and everybody else got in on it. Now, I will say this. God convicted me years ago because I was dead set against laughing. Ain't no way. You look stupid. Until God put me on my face on concrete. Okay, maybe I won't judge people, Lord. And I'm not judging them now because there was legitimacy to some of it. After a while, it got, just like everything else, got blown out of proportion. And I keep seeing these videos showing up on Facebook, on the video feeds of people just dancing. And that's the loose term for it. Because I think the cloggers actually have a better rhythm going. But they're just dancing. And some people are like, oh, I miss those days. I've been in those. And let me tell you something. I've watched the people on the front row. Nobody wants to be on the front row. They would roll. They would dance. They'd shout. That's not my normal temperament. That's not my normal personality. If I'm getting into something, you'll know when I'm amped up on something, okay? But in the churches I've been in, I've watched the man in the pulpit go after the secretary, go after one of the praise team's wives. And these are real stories. I've watched people that said they were delivered from something run right back to it. I've watched what happens. Running around, dancing, rolling on the floor, laughing, does not bring repentance. Hitting rock bottom does. Coming to the end of yourself will bring you to repentance. And whatever your temperament is, if it's to shout, you shout. If it's to cry, you cry. For me, even in boot camp, the hardest thing for me to do was to shout. And it's very interesting now that this has come back around. Katie mentioned in Kings, I believe it was Balaam, was called. He said, I can't curse the people of God, for there is a shout in their midst. It's the shout of a king. The word shout of a king is the Hebrew word teurah. I've talked about this before. The army uses the word huyah. Does the Navy use that too? I don't remember. I know the Navy or the Army uses hoo-ah. Is it hoo-ah or hoo-yah? Okay. Marines use oorah. I think it's a derivative of the same thing. You know, if you understand Army and Marines, if they call it one thing, we're calling it something else, and vice versa. Okay? They call them tennis shoes, we call them go-fasters. They call it a latrine, we got to call it a head. because we're on ships. Why the Navy has to call it ahead, I don't know. But anyhow, but that word Teura is a shout of victory. And, you know, and in formations in the Army and formations in the Marine Corps, when you shout hoorah, I can tell you right now there is something that takes place inside your body. It builds. Arr! That's how we shortened it. See, we even shortened it just to a bark. But you need to understand what that just did to me. The hair standing up on the back of my neck, and there ain't none. That's what that prophet heard. Because the people of God were actually faced with a battle. And God was in their midst. God doesn't want you to live by laws. He wants you to live by His Holy Spirit. The Ten Commandments gives us a good example of what not to do. It's easy. And if you pay attention to them, they deal primarily with three aspects of our life: our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and ourself. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's where we need to work. That's what we need to focus on. Nobody should have to tell us, don't kill people. Don't steal from Caleb. If I think I know Caleb enough, he would probably give it to you. Don't cheat on your spouse. Don't worship idols, sports, spiritual, political, entertainers. Holy moly. Oh, it's so-and-so. Well, great. Good for you. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, whatever it is you celebrate, Kwanzaa. I don't care. You know, just going about your merry life. Yeah, you acted in a movie. Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel about sports people. Oh, look, it's LeBron James. Yeah, I can roll around on the floor holding my ankle too. Yeah, I don't like him. Oh, look, whoa, I got a touchdown. Yeah. Did you ever score a touchdown? Yeah. Couple. Yeah. 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 You scored a touchdown. You know, I grew up in a time when they said, act like you've been there. Nowadays, oh no, we got to get everybody hyped up. It's all about hype, and we brought that to the church. We got to get hyped up. We got to get, whoo, I'm going to go out and kick the devil's butt. And then we step outside that door, and we feel the heat of hell waiting for us. And you might feel that today because it's supposed to get hot. But it's waiting. You come off today, wow, yeah, and then tomorrow morning you wake up, oh no, it's Monday. What difference does Monday make? None. Because it's going to happen Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The devil hates you all the time. He probably hated you more this morning when you were getting ready for church. Couldn't find your car keys. Couldn't find your eyelash makeup, or couldn't find your razor, your comb. Or you overslept. Oh, man, now I got to go. Oh, honey, my favorite shirt, the shirt I wanted to wear today is dirty. You got 30 others hanging there. Grab one. But it doesn't look like church. Who cares? I don't. I don't care unless unless the shirt is flipping me off. Then I care. And you shouldn't be wearing it anyhow. You should burn it. But today's world is about how it makes us feel right now. That high wears off. I know some of you may not agree. Oh, no, I can walk in that high all the time. Your day's coming. I've been preaching for 22 years. The first 3 years, man, I was on a high. I didn't need a break. Woo! Yeah, Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Wow, God is moving. And then I crashed. It's like, this isn't about me anymore. And I began to realize hype can only carry you so far. What are you going to do when the hype wears off? What are you going to do when the honeymoon wears off? You don't look like you did in last night. What happened to the eyelashes? You're laying over there on the counter. And she's like, what is that on your face? That wasn't there yesterday. And then you both go, what is up with the breath? Because the honeymoon, you want everything to be perfect. The reality is, you got to get up and eventually, listen, I'm going to tell a story. Our honeymoon, it was great. As all honeymoon should be. But I had just flown from Japan. A little jet lagged. And then Friday night, got a minor concussion. Thank you, Rob. I got kidnapped. Yeah. A grown man does not fit in the backside. It was 84 in that little compartment of an 84 Firebird, and you shut the door with his head sticking up. It was a big glass. But anyhow. But there's something that happens to me when I travel. Some of you may have this issue as well, and it is an issue. Especially when you fly and you start eating different foods. My stomach is very touchy to that. She rented us this room and had a hot tub in it. The downside, no, I didn't mess in it. I could see Phil. The problem with it was, is it was in the bathroom and there was a curtain that separated the bed from the tub. And the toilet was on the other side. See where we're going with this? The honeymoon was over real quick. I'm sorry, honey, but I've got to go. And so, what do you do when the honeymoon's over? When you don't have those bees. The other night, you know, she's experiencing some of these hot flashes and stuff, and I was laying there just like, oh, and she's like, get off of me, your breath is so hot. I'm like, fine, I'll roll over here and look out the window. But what do you do when you don't feel those tinglies every time you come to church? Oh, the Holy Spirit's telling me to leave. No. The Holy Spirit will tell you if he's moving you. Okay? And by the way, sometimes, most of the time, God tells me. So it's not as hard, even when my son had to tell me. I already knew. It still hurt a little, but what are you going to do? But anyhow, what do you do? Did Jesus quit being king? Is he no longer Lord because you don't feel the squirrels running around and the butterflies? Is he no longer on the throne because you don't feel it? You don't feel hyped up. Preacher didn't preach a message that really ministered to me today. Get over yourself. Maybe it wasn't for you that day. Maybe you just need to sit there and absorb something. Maybe that message that day that the Holy Spirit had inspired was for somebody else. I heard of a church, and I won't tell you where the town is, but it's not too far away. Somebody went into it, and they said, it was like a rave. That's a dance club. It had lights. It had lasers. And it was all about the entertainment, about getting people bouncing. I used to get in the mosh pits, and you just jump, and you jump, and you jump, and yeah, you feel kind of good for a little bit until you get a concussion or something else, a black eye, bloodied lip or something because you're catching an elbow. But you feel kind of good, and it's all, but then the concert's over and you're just tired. Oh, if I could just do that every night. You can't do that every night. What do you do when the honeymoon's over? The honeymoon was over for the rich man. He no longer had the luxuries of somebody standing there with a fan cooling him. He didn't have the luxuries of fresh juice, cool water, while Lazarus is out on the street, the dogs coming by to lick his sores. Ladies and gentlemen, if we want to be the modern day church, if we want to be the church that Jesus comes back for, we had better start acting like that. That we care about those people. It's not saying that God puts everybody, just because you see somebody, doesn't mean that they're in your direction. Maybe you need to start praying for whoever is supposed to minister to them, because you may not have the cash on you right then. You may not have the means to help them, but somebody does. I stand by the fact that I firmly believe that God puts people in our lives that we're supposed to come in contact with, that we're supposed to tell about Jesus. Because I'm here to tell you, you keep telling the wrong people, all you're doing is building a wall. But you're still supposed to be an example of Christ to them. Because otherwise, let me tell you what it comes out across as. Judgy. I talked to a young man a couple months back, and he was telling about his father. His father was telling him about Jesus. He's like, "Dad, I know all that. I know all that. Why are..." But he can't stop because he thinks that's what he's supposed to tell everybody. We're supposed to tell the whole world. But I stand along with St. Francis when he said, "Preach always, and when necessary, use words. Let my actions speak." Because I'm going to tell you right now, I've heard preachers, "Sow a seed. You need to sow a seed into my ministry." They get millions and millions of dollars. And then when you say, "Hey, can you sow a seed into our ministry? We really need to make some repairs." "Oh, no, that's not how this works." By the way, I do believe I operate along the spirit of Elijah. Have felt that for 20 years when God started stirring in me to start getting people to serve him better. Get away from your idolatry. "I can't miss my football." If you don't get on your knees and start praying, we're all going to miss everything, because they're going to create mandates that people think are laws, and you ain't going to be able to do anything. How about that? You think I'm joking? They let it out 3 months ago that there was another virus coming across from UK. Guess what? Here it is. Oh, yeah, it's an election year, too. That's the Antichrist. Just heads up. You don't have to play. You have to pray. You do as God leads you. I'm telling you, there's so much that's coming down the pike. We're going to see it. I don't care when Jesus returns. You hear me? I don't care. If I got to stand before the Antichrist himself and say, "Cut me about right here. Yeah. Take it off. Here, I'll pull my shirt down. You can just..." Whoosh. Then that's what I'll do. If Jesus comes and takes me beforehand, praise God. Don't know? I don't care, because I know God will equip me for whatever it is I have to do. Whatever you have to do. But if we're looking for sensationalism, because trust me, if that's the case, the sensationalism is going to be gone when we're looking at you can't worship. You can't buy food unless you receive our little mark. And it's not money, folks. So say, oh, the one world. Yeah, we've been heading towards that for centuries. It's not about using your hand to pay for your bills. It's permission to buy food for your family. That's where it's at. Okay. I was going to share something, but maybe that's for another time. I know it is. Tim, prayer request. And before we get rolling too much here, I'm going to ask